you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue our message titled, Armed for Battle, But Unwilling to Fight.
The Bible tells us everything that we do, we must do in love. Sometimes people say, oh, brother, I'm just going to give him the truth. I'm just going to tear him. And you know that truth will tear that person down, not build him up. But I'm just going to give him the truth because the Bible says speak the truth. The Bible says speak the truth, but in love. And sometimes love is not telling the person the truth. You don't always tell everybody everything you know. That's not wise. But if your person has got all this knowledge in you and you're puffed up and you're proud and you've collected everything and you know more than the person sitting in the chair next to you and you know more than the pastor or you know more than everybody else who you know, if you think like that, pride is sneaking in. Because a person who's not proud does not even consider their relative knowledge to anybody else's. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that those that are wise do not compare themselves amongst themselves. I compare myself to Christ and I say, I'm not wise compared to him, but that's my goal. And that's the focus of a Christian, is getting word to develop and to grow. How closer am I to Christ because I have grasp of this word now? Not, oh, I'm qualified to be a teacher now. You know, I'm qualified to tell everybody in my church how to do. How dare them put him in that position over me? I know more of the word than he does. That's a person who doesn't understand. That's a person who's puffed up in pride. That's a person who says, I have collected all this knowledge, therefore I'm qualified to have that position. And that's not the way God works. Not the way God works. Now, the result of this type of Christian is a saved soul, but a wasted life. It's the story of a man who was on his deathbed, and the minister was there, and he was talking to the minister, and he was preparing him for death, and God said, you know, I know I'm going out and, I've lived a good life and, I'm born again. I saved in a few moments. I'll be with Jesus. And that's fine. I'm happy about that. That's great, minister. But, you know, the one thing that bothers me is, you know, when I stand in the presence of God, what will I say about all the wasted years? When I stand before my Lord, what will I say about all the wasted years? All the years that I didn't do anything for God. All the years that I didn't minister to anybody. Not the years before he was born again, so the years after he was born again. What am I going to say to God about, well, God, I went to church, and I know I was supposed to share with that, but I never shared any of my faith, Lord. Lord, I know I was around the church, and, you know, I never was the one to get involved. Some people are like that, just never get involved. Well, Lord, you know, I know I'm born again, but he was facing eternity. And he was going to be in heaven, but his thing, statement to that minister was, I believe I'm saved, and this soon I'll stand in the presence of my Lord. But what can I say to him about the wasted years? Will he understand? It's possible to have a saved soul and a wasted life. And we don't want to waste our lives. We want to be effective for Christ. We don't want to arm ourselves, but never get into the battle. But to stand on the side and watch others minister to people, to watch others share their faith, to watch others have the joy of the reward of having led someone to Christ. We should have a desire, a burning desire to get into it and to say, God, use me. And that's not saying, God, I want to go walk them down the street and knock on doors. It's saying, God, send somebody my way who will receive from me. Because I don't ask God to send everybody my way, because a lot of people won't receive from me. There are some people, I don't care how good you minister the word, you are not the person they will receive from. And sometimes we have to learn that lesson about our relatives. Sometimes the best time to pray for you, best way to pray for your relative is, God, send somebody across their path who's a Christian whom they can receive from. Because everybody can't minister to everybody. Some people won't let me minister to them because I'm black. Some people won't let me minister to them because I'm young. Some people won't let me minister to them for this, that, or the other. But there's somebody out there who can reach them. And that's what we pray. Now, you can be that somebody if someone somewhere is praying, oh, use somebody whom they can receive from. You're somebody's friend, and that person might have a relative praying for them. But if you've already decided in your mind, I'm going to stay armed, I'm going to prepare myself, read the word, study the word, but I don't ever plan on getting out there in the fight. then you'll be the individual who will not be used by God. And to be used by God is great. It's not scary. It's thrilling. It's exciting. It's joyful. It's wonderful. But we don't want to be like the man that says, what will I say to Jesus about all the wasted years? What will I say? That doesn't have to be us. Now, the solution to this is to be a doer of the word. It's nothing wrong with getting the word. But James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers of it only, not collectors of it, not just readers of it, not just students of it, but be doers of it. Be doers of the word of God. And what a familiar message that is. Be a doer of the word of God, and you'll not fall into that category of collecting the word with no intention to use it. If you do it, then you've used what you've collected. You've used what you've gathered. The solution to that is to be a doer. Now, the second point is going to be lack of compassion. Why are some Christians ready for battle and unwilling or unable to fight? Because they lack compassion. Have you ever driven by the street and you see the guy standing out on the corner and he's looking emaciated and he's asking for money, and God, something in your heart goes out and says, give to that man, you're not giving to him. I don't give to everybody, because a lot of them just out there, they're just going to go buy alcohol.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
Now, the second point is going to be lack of compassion. Why are some Christians ready for battle and unwilling or unable to fight? Because they lack compassion. Have you ever driven by the street and you see the guy standing out on the corner and he's looking emaciated and he's asking for money, and God, something in your heart goes out and says, give to that man, you're not giving to him. I don't give to everybody, because a lot of them just out there, they're just going to go buy alcohol. But there's times I've gone by and I have to say I have not allowed myself to be moved by compassion. There's times I've gone by and somehow that one, out of all the other ones in the corner, which, oh, what's that guy doing out there? Get a job. You know, but somehow that one, something just went out from me. My heart just went out to him. But I didn't turn the car around and come back and take him to lunch or give him a quarter, a nickel, a dime, a dollar, or whatever. I just didn't have any compassion for him. My heart went out to him, but I just kept driving anyway. I don't have time to stop. I don't want to fool with him. He's dirty. I don't want to do that. If we lack compassion, again, we've gotten ourselves armed, but that's part of the battle, is showing compassion. That's part of ministering to people, is showing compassion. Jesus was moved and motivated to fight the good fight of faith by compassion. Let's look at Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35 reads, and Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sick and every diseased person among them. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. What moved Jesus in this verse? What moved him to heal the sick? What moved him to feed the thousands? What moved him? He was moved by compassion. Now, if Jesus did not have compassion for those people, even though he was ready to minister to God and minister the word of God and to carry the anointing of God and equipped to minister the word of God, what would he have done to those people? He says here in the word, or the word tells us, that he was moved by compassion. He was moved from inactiveness into activeness by compassion. Again, we'll see a few chapters over in Matthew 14, 14. The same thing. Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Matthew 14, 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 15, 32 again. Jesus, you don't even have to turn over there. Jesus was moved by compassion. Sometimes we don't minister, even though we're ready to minister and equipped to minister, and we've got the knowledge of God, we've got the anointing, we've got the calling, we've got the direction, but sometimes we fail to move because of a lack of compassion. Now, the Hebrew word translated compassion is spangnetzuhai. That's a strange word pronounced, but that's what it says. Spangnetzuhai. And that's a Hebrew word which means to have the bowels yearn, to feel sympathy and pity. And a lot of times when you see these people out on the street, there's certain ones that you just feel more sympathy and pity than others. Something in your heart, it's almost like just a swelling in your heart goes out to that person. That's compassion. Allow it to move you from inactiveness into activeness. Sometimes I drive by and I don't feel a thing. Other times I drive by and something on the inside. And what is that word that God used for compassion? It means to have the bowels yearn to feel sympathy and pity. One person said, it's no chore for me to love the whole world. My only real problem is my neighbor next door. You know, it's easy for us to have love for the whole world. We'll be in church and we'll say, God, I love everybody. I love the whole world. But do we just love our neighbor enough to share the word with them when the opportunity comes? Do we love our fellow co-worker enough to share Jesus with us when the opportunity comes? Not on company time and when you're not supposed to be doing it, but when the opportunity comes. But God, I love the whole world. But the problem is not the whole world. The problem is the person who you really could do something for. I can't do anything for the whole world, but I can do something for my neighbor. I can do something for my fellow employee. I can do something for a family member. And so often those are the people we don't allow ourselves to be moved by compassion and minister to because they're family. They know us. We're ashamed. Allow compassion to motivate you and you'll find great, great joy and commitment. Contentment. If you go out and you act on those unctions, I've never felt greater than when I saw a bum on the street or I saw someone on the street that needed money and I went back and gave them some money. I've done that before. I mean, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling because you obeyed God. It's a great feeling because you know you ministered to that person. You helped them. It's tremendous. If you don't want to be an inactive Christian who's ready for battle and doesn't go to work, then let compassion move you, just as Jesus allowed compassion to move him. There's a story of a rich man in England, and actually he's an Italian man, and this guy, he was wealthy, but he just had no satisfaction in life. Life was just so boring to him. It just, you know, I've got money, I've got this, nobody trusts me,
Today's message has been, armed for battle, but unwilling to fight.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God. Develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Antioch RV Rentals, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is a Christian-owned and